Maseches Peah, Per Gimel, Mishnah Vav, 3-6. This Mishnah is asking, what is the minimum size of a field that would be required to leave Peah? So we'll have in total 5 different shirim. Each one is getting smaller than the next. So we start with the largest, and then we go down in size. And the basis of each of these opinions is really based on different drushas that are linking the idea of a sada, a field, which is a requirement for not to harvest your field to the edge by Peah, and then trying to link that idea of a field to other contexts in the halachas of gifts to the poor. So we'll see inside. It says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. The first opinion is Rabbi Eliezer's, and he says, Karka base rova chayevas papeah. Land the size of what's called a base rova, that's the minimum size of a field that will be obligated in Peah. Base rova means literally a house of a rova. A rova is a quarter of a kav. The way I think it's most useful to at least keep in your mind the size of these various volumes in the Mishnah is as follows. The most common measure of volume is the kav. So the kav, you can imagine as being a 2-liter bottle of water, and a kav is approximately 2 liters. So there are 6 kavin in a saw. A saw is a larger measurement. So you can imagine a 6-pack. You know, you buy a 6-pack in the shop, in the store, of 2-liter bottles. So when it's sort of wrapped together in that plastic, that is roughly the size of a saw. So a rova, which means a quarter, is a quarter of a kav. So a quarter of a 2-liter bottle is a 500cc bottle. So think of a small bottle of Coke, whatever, a quarter of a 2-liter bottle. That is what we're talking about over here. So a base rova means the amount of land in which one would normally plant that quantity, let's say 500cc, of seeds, let's say wheat seeds to plant a wheat field. So the math kind of works out like this, that there's a measurement called a base saw, and that's the most standard used area measure of area of a field for large areas. So a base saw is the amount of land in which one could plant a saw worth of seeds. So you do the math. If there are 6 kav in 1 saw, and of course there are 4 quarter kav in a kav, so then how many quarter kavs are there in a saw? It's 6 times 4, or 24. So this is 1/24th the size of a base saw, is the base rova. And the base saw is given as 50 by 50 amos, 2,500 square amos. So an am is roughly half a meter. So you're saying 25 by 25 meters, say, you know, 625 square meters, or like something around, you know, say 5,500 square feet, something like that. So we're dividing it by 24. So 2,500 square amos divided by 24 is just over 100 square amos. It's actually 104 and a 6 square amos to be exact. Or roughly 25 square meters, something like that. So that's the amount of size, according to the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, of how big a field must be in order for it to be obligated in the mitzvah of Peah. He gets that because he equates the field referred to in the verses with respect to Peah, to a reference to field with kilaim, sort of beyond the scope of right now what I want to get into, but the an important measure in kilaim is a base rova, so we're bringing in that measurement over here too. It's a little too technical for our purposes now, the exact derivation. Fine, that's the first opinion. The second opinion is Rabbi Yoshua, and he says, Ha'osa sasayim. Rabbi Yoshua says, the amount of field which produces 2 saw. So Rabbi Eliezer, the first opinion was focused on how much seed would go into the ground, the input, if you will. This is Rabbi Yeshua focused on the output of the land. So it has the field that can produce 2 saw, roughly, if you remember a second ago, I said it's roughly 12 liters per saw. So 2 saw is basically 24 liters of grain. And that's the minimum amount. And Rabbi Yeshua gets this because sasayim, 2 saw, is a significant measurement with regard to the limits of shicha, also a little beyond the scope of what we want to discuss right now. But in any case, he's linking the rules of shicha to the rules of peah, because they're in the verse, they're connected. And just like by shicha, there's an upper limit of 24, there'll be a lower limit of 20, of sasayim. So there's also going to be a lower limit of sasayim, 2 saw, for the production of the field in order for it to be chayav and peah. Rabbi Tarvin, the third opinion, Omer, Shishal Shisha Tfachim. He says it's just 6 by 6 Tfachim. A Tefach is a handbreadth. So 6 Tfachim is basically an Amma, the length from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger. So we're talking roughly half a meter. So basically half a meter by half a meter, an amma by an amma, 6 by 6 tfachim. And that's all the same size. And Rabbi Tarfat says that's the minimum size a field could be in order to be required to leave Peah. He gets it also from Kilaim, but this measure of 6 by 6 tfachim is a rule, as a size of a field that's relevant for the laws of Kilaim with respect to like a vegetable patch or like a small patch of herbs, etc. In any case, beyond the scope of ours for right now, but in any case, he's equating a measure of a small patch for, let's say, herbs, whatever it is, with the rules of Kilaim, which is 6 by 6 tfachim. He'll apply that now to the rules of a field when it applies to Peah, 6 by 6 tfachim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the fourth opinion, Omer, he says, g'deliksor v'lishnos. He says, just the field needs to be big enough that you could start reaping it and go back for a second cut in the field. The idea here is we're not equating it to a particular size of field, but rather since the requirements for pay is to not complete your harvest, go all the way to the edge of your harvest once you started it. So once you start harvesting, there's a chi of a pay kicking in, and therefore you have to leave something. So as long as you can start a harvest and not be finished in one fell swoop, then you must really leave some pay at the end. That's why he says, de liktzor, if you can start reaping something, and lishnos, if there's a second amount to reap, that already could be chayav and peah. V'halachat kedvarav, the Mishnah here says that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, that there's no minimum size in a field beyond just big enough that you could liktzor v'lishnos, go at it twice, and with a reaping effort. And the Mishnah says the halacha is like him. This is quite uncharacteristic of the Mishnah. The Mishnah hardly ever paskins like anyone. And you should know that the rule is we don't paskin according to the Mishnah. So, and that's true throughout. So just because the Mishnah says that's the halacha, it may not be the halacha. And in fact, in this case, the Rambam, etc., do not paskin like this Mishnah. So the halacha is actually not kedvarav, not like his words. Rather, the halacha is going to follow this fifth opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, karka kol shehu chayavis bepeah. Rabbi Akiva says, there is no minimum size for a field. Any field of any size is obliged to be peah. That is to say, if you even had a single stalk growing in a field, it's that tiny, you know, it's like a, whatever, a square centimeter, with one stalk growing on it, you could, in theory, harvest, you know, one branch of the ear of grain and then leave the other branch of the single stalk as peah. That's the halacha, like Rabbi Akiva. There is no minimum. Once you start harvesting, you got to leave whatever, something, regardless of the size of the field. So that's kol shehu. Kol shehu means any amount. So now, the Mishnah now will depart from our main topic and just point out that there are other, this is Rabbi Akiva, but we'll point out that there are other areas in halacha where you need land, and in these areas where land is required for some reason or other, there's no de minimis requirement, no minimum amount of land, any amount of land will do. So, in addition to peah, which has no minimum requirement, any amount of land will do, so too with bikurim. Bikurim is the mitzvah bring the first fruits of the Shivat Aminim, the seven species by which Eretz Yisrael is praised, to the Beis HaMikdash, where they'll be given to the Kohen, waved and eaten over there by him. So your first fruits must be not only your fruit, but to grow on your particular land. The verse requires it's your land on which it grew, so you have to have some land, but how much land? No requirements, even if you have a tiny piece of land, and that tiny piece of land is where that tiny piece of fruit grew, or grain, whatever it is, then it's you can do the mitzvah of peah. It's a little technical, but in as much as obviously a tree is bigger, needs more space, et cetera, but that's beyond the scope of us. But right now, if you have barley or wheat growing on a tiny piece of land, you can bring bikurim on that because you own that piece of land. That's all you need. And similarly, there's no minimum requirements for lichto v'le prusbol. Prusbol, way beyond the scope of our topic right now, we'll get to it in Shvius, is a legal loophole that the rabbis set up whereby a person can prevent his loans to the poor during the Shemitah year from being relinquished and released. So the way it's done is also technical, and I don't want to get into it right now, but it requires that the borrower own some piece of land for whatever reasons, and that means that if he owns any amount of land, it doesn't matter, that would be sufficient for effecting a prusbol that would prevent one's loan to that borrower from being released during Shemitah. We'll get the prusbol at the end of Masechta Shvi'as. V'liknos ima nechasim she'en lemachrayas, bekesef, uvishtar, uvachazaka, the final thing listed in the Mishnah of where any amount of land will do to effect some legal requirement. So this is talking about what's called kinyan agav, a piggyback kinyan, let's call it. That is to say, the way in which one acquires movable objects, chattel, metaltalin in Hebrew, is usually by lifting it up, hagbah or meshicha, but let's say hagbah, just lifting it up. So, but not, for example, by transferring money. So, for example, if I'm purchasing your watch, just giving you the money doesn't make it mine. I have to actually physically take the watch and lift it up. Now, and the transfer of money effectively doesn't do anything in terms of a kinyan, in terms of transferring ownership, effecting the transfer. Right. So there is a rule, however, for the kinyan agav, the piggyback kinyan, which is once I'm transferring to you a piece of real estate as opposed to chattel, meaning a piece of land as opposed to a movable object. So, and those are called in Hebrew nechasim sheyeshlem achrayas, which is a property that has the ability to have a lien put on it, achrayas, responsible to a lien, encumberable. So the way one transfers ownership of land, real estate, is not through lifting it up, of course, because you can't lift up land. It's through either kesef, money, transferring, you know, transferring from my hand to your hand the money, or bishtar with a contract, uvachazaka, or through showing conclusively you own the land by doing an act that only an owner would do to land, like building a fence around it or something like that. In any case, so once I'm transferring to you my land, so then I can have, let's say, in the contract or the agreement that when I give you the money or give you the contract, you'll acquire not just my land, but also my watch, let's say. So that's called the piggyback. The watch piggybacks on with the rest of the land. And now when I use money, let's say, we can do an exchange of money to effect the transfer ownership of the land. And with it, the watch can come along also. That's the Kenyan Agav, that's the piggyback. So if there were no land in the equation, if we changed money, that wouldn't transfer ownership of my watch from me to you. But if we are transferring money, exchanging money to transfer ownership of land, we can use the Kenyan Agav to also let the watch transfer along to you with the exchange of money. So how much land is required to effect the Kenyan Agav, this piggyback Kenyan? The answer is any amount of land, there's no minimum requirement. And that's what the words, I'll read it to you one more time so you can see it inside. It says, Veliknos ima nechasim she'en lemachrayas. You can use any amount of land to acquire with it nechasim she'en lemachrayas. That's chattel, movable object that you can't put a lien on. You can do that, effect that transfer with kesef, money, shtar, contract, or v'chazaka with an act of showing ownership on the land. And then the movable would transfer with it. Again, halacha like Rabbi Kiva, all these things.